I put it on Facebook, you know, just out there every now and then. I feel led. I don't do it every day. Just when I feel led, I do it. Because when I feel led, the Bible says a word is good in its time. And so there's timings that God will tell us to do things, and it'll affect things. But anyhow, put it out there, and I said, satisfied lives, and I'm talking to believers. I ain't talking about this world. People in this world, they going to live unsatisfied. They going to shoot for a good life all their life, and they're looking at the end when they retire, and then they can enjoy life and all that, and they miss it. They gain money and all that stuff and still not satisfied. But I put it on there. I said, money don't satisfy. Things don't satisfy. Substance don't satisfy. People don't satisfy. A satisfied life, and the Bible says that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. It don't say that God gives us that things we would enjoy them without Him. But I put on there, and I said, God, give us all things richly to enjoy. And I put on there, but when you ain't got God, you won't enjoy things. When we got God and walking with God, then we enjoy the things that we have. We can enjoy our car. We can enjoy our finance. We can enjoy our ministries and everything. But, you know, we living in a time, and I've heard it for years. In years, I evangelized for 7 years, and of course, I run across people in my line of work. I meet new people every day, you know, Christians and non-Christians and all of that stuff, you know, and you hear what's coming out of their heart a lot of times. They're talking about their troubles and this and that or whatever. And a preacher said one time, he said there is a no-fault religion. You know, it's not my fault because things are going bad in my life. Talking to Christians, you know. Talking about Christians, you know. And many of God's people today, they don't realize, and some of them do realize, that they got their part. God's done did His part. I mean, He sent Jesus to the cross even before Jesus. He made a way from them, and he told them, and then He told them, you know, hearken to the word that Moses wrote, you know, and hearken to the word. In other words, God was telling them, you know, I know the way to get you into a successful life, but you've got to do your part. And a lot of God's people today are wanting God to do something for them and wish God had moved in their situations, not realizing that they are not doing their part. And then they will start blaming. Some blame God. You know, I don't know why God don't heal me. I don't know why God don't heal. You know, I don't know why He don't show up and give me my finances and all of that. Not realizing, you know, that God has, we got to do our part working with God. Just like I went through one time, and it seemed like I never had enough. You know, never had enough to make ends meet, and economy got bad and all of that stuff, you know, and God was telling me, because of the way things were, God was trying to give me instruction what to do in those times when we was having to figure out which bill was the most important one to pay and let the rest of them go. Keeping our lights on, keeping our water on, you know, and coming here and ministering this Bible of faith. You know, and I'm telling God, God, if You would just give me the stuff, if You would just give me this, I would handle this, and I would handle this, and I would handle this. And all the time, God was telling me, comply. Get in agreement that you're going to deal with all this. Why am I telling you that? See, God was waiting on me to do my part so He could show up and bring deliverance. And so I went to a meeting, men's meeting, and I really didn't feel like going. That's why I believe in going to church. I believe in going to revivals when you know and trust the people, you know. And I'm not going to just listen to any preaching. Now, I don't mean that in a negative form. I just mean I'm going to guard my heart, because out of it's going to come life or death. The issues of life come out of me. And whatever I let get in me, then that's what's going to come out of me. You know, if I let bitterness get in there, you're going to see bitter all the time. If I let unforgiveness get in there, you're going to hear it out of my mouth. And now I'm not doing my part. What's my part in that? The Bible says forgive. Right? If I want God to, be able to move in my life, then whatever it is in the Bible that I need to do, that's what's going to allow God, not get God, allow God to move in on that situation. So I go to church that night, and some of you sitting out there in Facebook land, I lose a bunch of them about right now. You ain't going to church, and you can't go to church. You're not doing your part. And you know, you can tune in every week, and probably I'm going to say it every week till I see your face in this building. Why? Because I'm going to do my part. My part is to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. If I don't do my part, then I'm going to suffer for it. I'm going to lose the anointing. I can lose the grace of God. See, in order for God to do what he wants to do, I've got to do my part in that. If I don't forgive, then he can't forgive me. See, so people, God's people has got to realize in this last day, the times are dark, and Jesus could come back at any minute. God could say, go get my children, and you'll see, you'll see the angels appear in the heavenlies. But God, and the people's going to be caught up. People will come up out of the graves and all kinds of things. They're going to open up. And we're going to be caught up with it. But until I am, I'm going to occupy and go and be in line with the Lord the best of my ability and even gain. And you know what? I was thinking about it. I was thinking God was telling me today, he's saying, I want to do way more in people's lives, but they won't do their part. He said, I want them to experience healing, but they won't get the scriptures and meditate on them day in and day out and let them come out of their mouth. He said, so the only thing they can do is turn to the natural realm to get their healing. I figured we'd be a little quiet, but we're going to have victory. See, we got a part to play. I'm not where I am in business just because of Jesus. Jesus put me in business in 1994, and I knew it was the will of God. You got to find the will of God for your life. I knew it was the will of God, but I had to follow him. I had to get down and pray and fast and find out what his will was in things, in the business. Why? Because I knew that faith comes by hearing from God. Faith begins where the will of God is known, and I'm going to need faith to be sustained in the things of God. Anyways, I go to a meeting. I didn't even want to go that night. Because, I didn't have no money. We were what I call strapped. You know, I just wanted to stay home, you know, and just, you know, sit there. But I knew better. I knew I had to get up and do something, do my part. Go to a service, you know, believe to receive instruction in that service or whatever. You know, because I'm wanting to do the will of God. I'm wanting things to turn around in our lives. I wanted a breakthrough from God. And that you're sitting on your couch is not going to get you a breakthrough. The woman with the issue of blood could have sat there. When she heard Jesus was coming, she could have sat there and said, no, they'll stone me if I get out. And in those days, that's what they did. She was quarantined, forbidden to come out. But she could have sat there. But faith caused her to come out from where she was at. She did her part. She come out. She said within herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be made whole. Well, you know what? In order for her to touch his garment, he ain't coming in there. So she had to get up and do her part. And she got healed. The woman got healed. Her faith made her whole. See, when we do in our part, we're actually operating in faith. Whether you feel it or you don't. Well, I go to that meeting, and I tell my pastor, I say, and we're pastoring down here. He don't know nothing about my situation. You know, I didn't tell nobody. It wasn't a pride thing. It was just either God's going to deliver us or he's not God. He's not a big enough God. He's going to do it. I'm not going to depend on people. See, I know that's the will of God. I got that out of the Bible. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. I got what I was doing, so my part wasn't to tell all my troubles to everybody. Because everybody can't deliver you. There comes a time when God is not going to allow deliverance to come to us only through him. Only. And that is a good thing. Well, I go up there, after service over, I don't even remember what was preached or anything. He said, anybody want prayer? And I said, yeah. I said, pray for me. I didn't tell him nothing. He gets up there and he starts praying for me. Praise God, and I just set my heart towards the Lord, and then all of a sudden he got through praying for me, and then he said, I see you in quicksand. He said, and that quicksand is God. And I thought, oh my God, man. When I left, I said, okay. I went on. He didn't give me nothing else. I left and I thought, God's got me here. That's why nothing's happening. This is God. And all the time I'm thinking the devil's doing it. The devil's this, the devil's that. See, we can't be so devil-minded we're not God-conscious. Just cause you in trouble and you need deliverance don't mean the devil's even in it. The only way he can get in is to keep me making wrong choices by my own choice. Satan's not the biggest problem to Christians on this planet. Satan's been defeated. As long as every church keeps him under their feet, he's not a problem. Well, I get back home and I tell Teresa, she said, how was the service? And I said, I don't know. I said, but he prophesied to me and said that I was in quicksand. This quicksand's God. She said, I told you you're going to have to agree to do things right. Agree to do your part. The minute I surrendered to the Lord, I said, okay, black God, I'm in quicksand. The only way out of this is God. That's the only way out. But see, I had to do my part. We just heard testimony of your praise and worship leader. I didn't know nothing about it. He didn't talk to me about it. They going through issues. Everybody goes through issues. Every one of y'all got issues somewhere. And so they going through issues. And he makes his mind up. I'm not going to have a bad life. I'm not going to do it. And see, he knows a lot. He knows the Bible. A lot of people don't even know the Bible. That's why they don't know what to do when the trouble hits. They ain't been in the Bible. They ain't reading the Bible. They're not meditating on the Bible. They're not finding out what the will of the Lord is. They really don't know what the will of the Lord is. Somebody told me one time, he said, well, I don't really know what the will of the Lord is. Well, I said, well, do you read your Bible? Well, I mean, I do at church. You ain't going to never know the will of God. But they don't know the will of God, some of them. I said, you're going to have to get your Bible out. Well, 3 days of them doing something about it, 3 days, things started turning around. Turning why? They started doing their part. How many knows it's our part to hear preaching? It's our part to read the Bible. God's not going to do that for us. That is not my fault because it's not my fault because I can't prosper. I go to church, and coming to church ain't got nothing to do with you prospering. Coming to church gets us in the presence of God, a unified body, ready to do the work of the ministry, hearing the Word of God, getting nuggets where we can go out and do something. I mean, that's why people, they'll come here and they'll say, it's just too hard there. No, it's hard at your house. I couldn't live there. Ain't no peace, ain't no joy. It's all bickering and griping and attitudes and all of that. And then you come in here and we try to tell you, give you something that'll cause that to be straightened out in your house. And now you got to do something. Now it's just too hard. No, what's hard is people get born again and they never grow any, never go on and experience freedom, so they keep living in bondage. Bondage to fear, bondage to anger, bondage to unforgiveness, bondage, you know, I mean, road rage. Oh, I preach on all that stuff here. Shoot them a peace sign instead of a bird. If you feel angry, just say, hey, peace, baby. Go back to the 70s. See, those are little parts we do that seems funny, but it's keeping us in a right spirit, Matt. It keeps us, we're doing our part. Then you know what they're going to start saying out there in the world? They're going to say, yep, I know that was a Christian. They're the only ones that does that stuff. Follow them, see where they go to church. It's possible. The Bible says they're going to run to us. But they ain't if we ain't got nothing. But we got something. You know? And so I complied. I started complying. I started telling the Lord, I'm going to stop figuring out my life. I'm going to stop figuring out how to do this. I've learned how to do business, but I ain't learned how to stay in your glory enough. I've learned how to put in God's doors. I've learned how to be faithful at work, but I ain't, and I had to work on all that. I used to quit everything. Well, how many knows most of God's people don't want to take responsibility of their lives? After we come through that and God brought us out, you know, I started changing. I thought, well, bless God, you know what? I spend money on stuff that I don't really have to have just because my flesh wants it. And I'm my own boss and I have my money, you know, and everything. And I tithe, so Lord, you know. And so it was like we couldn't accumulate. And so I started looking at things, and it's called stewardship. I started looking at things, and I started saying, okay, I'm cutting that off. I'm getting rid of that. I'm getting rid of that. And I'd be like, oh, man, I ain't going to have nothing. And I get getting rid of all of that. And when I did all of that, it's like an anointing come on us to prosper. And, I mean, we just started prospering. And, I mean, money started accumulating and all kinds of things. Why? I just simply in the natural done my part. I mean, preach it here all the time. Save some money. Save money. It's anointed. It's anointed for us to save money. Why? Because, I mean, God might want you to buy me a Corvette and you can't do it broke. I don't want a Corvette. I'm just saying. There's not a lot of war, praise God. I'm a satisfied man. Give me that Ephesians 5:17, Beth. There's many, many of God's people, I believe born again, they say they believe God and they do nothing. That don't make no sense to me. They say they believe God, but they don't do nothing, Mac. They don't fast, they don't pray, they don't go to church, you know, they don't do, and they never get nothing. I mean, year after year, you wait next year. God's going to do big things. You wait till next year. You wait, and I'm like 7 years later, wait till next year. I'm like, well, I'm not all them years. What'd he do? What'd he do last year? What'd he do 4 years ago, like you said? Well, I'm believing God, but what are you doing? Believing God has action in it. Faith without what? Works is what? Dead faith. Laying there dormant faith. If I believe I'm healed, then get the scripture. I say them every day over my body. I say, thank you, Lord, that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, for my bones. And I thank you for my bone marrow. I'm doing my part. Why? Because the Bible says that therefore I believe, therefore I speak. Therefore we have believed. What do we believe? The word. Therefore we speak. I say it all the time. I'm not getting old like some of these folk I hear at 50, 50, 51, even 70. I'm just an old man. I'm an old man. Just getting older and drying up. I mean, this is what you got to look forward to. And I'm like, nah, that's not my evidence. The Word of God has to be our evidence. in our financial world, in our marriages, not the way it feels, not the way it looks. And if the Word of God is our evidence, then we will. Then if I'm having marital trouble, I'll say, okay, the Bible says, love my wife. Is Christ so loved the church? And it's a hard thing when things are not going in your favor to do that Word. But you know what? I know many, many times it saved my marriage. I don't know how many times. And you know what? It's Teresa, on her part, the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. If a wife does that, I'm telling you, God's grace comes on these decisions. That woman is doing her part. And it causes things to work good. Teresa, little Aubrey. Now, we teaching them every day something. Every day they get in our presence somehow. We're Bible. We're teaching them that Bible something. Well, Aubrey, she's like, and why do we do that? Because he told them in the Old Testament, he said, teach it when you eat. Teach it when you're there in your house. Talk about it there all the time. Talk about it. Little Aubrey, she wanted to carry her lunch today. And asked Teresa last night, Grandma, can I carry lunch? I don't know, baby. You know, you have to ask Mama when you get home. I'm just going to tell Mama to go fix it. She's holding her ear. She don't like me talking about her. She'll be okay. She'll get tougher. And so I'm going to tell Mama to fix it. That's what she told Teresa. She said, well, baby, she said, why don't you ask Mama if she will, please? Instead of going out there with that bad attitude, instead of going out there with that demanding attitude, we're teaching her to go, please, could I please, Mom? Yeah. These are godly. See, why am I saying that? If I want them kids to be right thinking, right attitude in their life, then I've got to do my part when I have the opportunity, godly ways to impart to them. I've seen people, you know, didn't take their kids to church. Taking your kids to church is not really what trains them. They get examples here. I mean, people come here and their kids ain't been raised in church. They gonna spit bubble gum everywhere. They gonna crawl under there. They gonna come crawl across the altars and all that for a service or two. Why? Because they're going to see all the other ones, how they're setting behave because you've done your part in church. They're going to have examples of kids, this is how they do, that they don't know without having to, you know, get too aggressive. But then now if our kid's in church, I mean, they're just running everywhere, doing everything, and they come in, you know, they've got no example. See, we know what the Scripture says. It says, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, I've seen kids come in, and I've seen them see other kids, and before you know it, they're just like running everywhere, and then they're sitting over with the others because the adults go, shh. At home, they hear, shut up! We're gonna raise the generation here. We're gonna do our part, and we're gonna have God's grace and God's anointing. And these babies are going to grow up knowing the ways of God. Knowing the ways of God are blessed, willing to do their part, just like the kids. The Bible says to honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. You might say, well, they're not honorable. It don't say if they're honorable or not. You honor them. You respect them. Well, they've made a lot of wrong choices, but it don't matter. God honors the ones that honor Him. And when you're honoring honoring Him through doing what the Word says, doing your part, then you get God's favor and God's honor on your life. Ephesians says, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many knows it's unwise not to understand what the will of the Lord is? In your finances, in your marriage, in your ministry, it is just plain unwise. And Satan takes advantage of people that are unwise. He takes advantage of them. God ain't going to move for you. No, we know he's a God of breakthrough. We done read it from Genesis to Revelation. So he can't fool us there. Why? We are not unwise. We know what the will of the Lord is. Well, your marriage ain't going to never make it. No, no, the Bible says victory is mine, that he always causes me to triumph. Well, I'm not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, because I've got wisdom from the Bible, I know what to do. I can't just sit back and say, God, would you bind Satan? Please, Lord, take, oh, Lord, stop him. Stop him, Lord. Stop Satan. He done stopped him with Jesus. I mean, some Christians, some of them not taught. I mean, you know, some of them don't know. But that's no excuse, because if they have a Bible, and if you don't got one, you can get one just about anywhere. Get that Bible out and get in that Bible. Don't go ask people what they think you ought to do when your relationship is on rocks. Don't do that. Go to that Bible. Go to your prayer closet. Fast and pray. Go to the Bible. Seek God for wisdom. The Bible says if a man lack wisdom, if he wants to know God's will, ask him. What do I do in this situation, God? I heard a preacher, this guy went up. I don't know if he was praying for him or not. Teresa was telling me about it. And I don't know if he was praying for him or what, but anyhow, he told him, you're going to have to fight, you know. And he said, well, I don't want to fight. And said the guy started crying, you know. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. Can't you fight for me? And he said, no, I can't fight for you. Is that the way it went? See, nobody can fight for you. We can believe with you, and we can trust God to help you, and we come together for each other and all that, but at the end of the day, it's going to your life and your future is going to be determined by your response in things in life. And if we respond and know God's will, what the will of the Lord is, then we're not unwise. We are called wise people. When we understand I understand the will of the Lord for me to be healed. That's how come I'm not going to stay sick. I'm telling you right now, I've had dart after dart after dart for 28 years. But did you know what? Ephesians says over there in 5. Now look, this whole chapter, if you go read it, Paul was writing this to the church at Ephesus, and he says the way of Christians. But he was telling them everything they shouldn't let happen, fornication, all kinds of stuff, boiling down to this right here. He was telling them all that so they would know what the will of the Lord is, so they would understand the will of the Lord. And then that's when he told them that. He said, be not unwise. Don't be unwise. Don't go along with all that stuff because everybody else is going along with it. Don't agree with it because everybody's going along with it and say God's okay with it. God's not okay with the body staying sick. It grieves him that his people walk sick here. When he gave Jesus, he put his son on a whipping post. I mean, he let him take stripes. I mean, they beat Jesus until he was unrecognizable, some of them says in the Bible. I mean, that man took a beating for us. That by those stripes we are healed. That's why we take that. We know it's the will of God. Jesus didn't suffer that so we could suffer with sickness and disease down here. But you know what? A lot of God's people, well, doctor says it's incurable. Doctor says there's nothing he can do. Doctor says he's nothing, blah, 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 you know. I mean, they're limited. The doctors are limited. And then they just settle that that's the end of it. I've seen it. That's not the will of God. The will of God is fight. I mean, take those scriptures and confess them over yourself day in, day out. And you might say, well, I'm not sick. Good. Keep yourself there. Keep it there. You know, I like what Teresa said the other day. She said, sometimes preventative medicine. Preventative for a lack of faith. It's preventative. She didn't say all that, but I went on putting my own thinking on it, you know. The word prevents me from being faithless. I might be going along just fine right now, but I need to keep growing and developing my faith and getting ready if another battle does come. used to hear people stand up in church and they'd say, well, you know, you build faith through trials. Trials builds your faith. And so I went and I tried to find that in the Bible and I couldn't find it. And I started looking at people and I thought, that's okay. They went through that trial, so that's wrong. That's not right. And every time I'd go through a trial, I'd feel like about half dead when I got out of it. And I thought, if trials build your faith, everybody would be faith giants. No, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. Somebody say, by hearing. It don't come. Don't wait on your trials to come to build faith. That's the wrong time. That's the wrong timing. Don't be unwise about it, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that you go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And you know what? The thing about it is, the more that you believe God, the more responsibility is going to come on you. Because now you're going to have to steward over what you believe God for. You're going to have to control yourself just like this, you know. You might be on the bottom. I've seen it. I've seen people in here and abroad, you know, them be on the bottom. And God, and doing things that, and allowing God into their life, believing God, start believing God, getting a hold of the Word of God, going out of here. And I mean, can't do nothing but talk about what they was hearing in here, why it was giving them hope and giving them a future that they hadn't even experienced yet, you know. And they go out and then go from the bottom to solid rock, I mean, in every area, then forget God. I taught Travis that, you know, when he gets to the place. But I mean, I've said it to him over the years, but I've preached it here. But God, when I started prospering and I could get anything I wanted, I bought me a nice truck, really nicest than I'd ever had, other than a little bit of brand new one back then. It didn't mean nothing to me. But I pulled off before I pulled out of that parking lot, and I said, God, thank you, Lord, that this truck don't make me nothing, Lord. This truck don't move me. God, I won't forget where I come from, you know, and taught that to Travis. Because if you're what I'm fixing to go on and preach and you do it, you do your part, you know, then you're going to prosper. You don't even have to want to prosper. You are going to prosper. You can't follow God and do His will and not prosper spiritually, mentally, financially. I mean, every day I come in, now Teresa with him 4 or 5 years, she you know, that vertigo and all of that stuff and lost muscle and all kinds of stuff, couldn't do anything, you know, and it was kind of peaceful around the house in this manner. I didn't have to jack no floors and paint no windows and, you know, move stuff and all of that stuff. And now that she's on the Word every day reading it, I quote it with her when she's saying it. She reads it every day, every day. She's got those scriptures, and she reads it, and she says, Teresa, this, and putting her in there in the Bible. Now come in, I need that jacked up, and I need that moved. And she's out there 2 days sanding down. I mean, she's never been a lazy person ever. I'm like, good Lord, she's back. Oh, that Word's bringing her back, Lord. She's coming back. That's a good thing. I'm watching it walk out. I watched her walk out her Maverick glasses. God did that for a reason. I could have bought her birthdays this Saturday. I could have bought her 10, 15 pair and not even missed the money of Maverick glasses. But it wasn't about that. It was about God teaching her and bringing it to us. But don't be unwise. Well, I just don't know what the will. I don't understand the will of God. Get your Bible out and go to class. Go to class. What that mean? That means read a chapter a day. That means, well, I don't understand it. Don't get on all that. That's why people don't read their Bible. A lot of God's people, I don't understand nothing. Don't say you're going to understand everything. The Holy Spirit quickens that Word that you read, that you pay attention to. Then you start getting light on the inside, inspiration. He quickens our mortal bodies by His Spirit, the Bible says. Then when that revelation comes, you will know the will of God in it. You can't get me to say one day I'm going to be broke. I just ain't got it in me. I just ain't got that in me. That's not in me. Who's in me? Christ in me, the hope of glory. And didn't Paul tell the Philippians over there, because y'all are giving and taking care of my ministry, that my God will supply all your need? That don't change. Give me the 1 Peter 2:2. I got to hurry. Not really. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I preached that to church one time. They're like, grow? Grow? I said, I said it in your Bible. Well, we've been saved a long time. I said, well, you hadn't grew, have you? See, Travis got a little bitty feller when he fell out, got in my arms. Look at him now. He grew. He kept growing. I mean, he can swallow a foot long 8 minutes, man. A boy can eat, man. He didn't stay a baby, Johnny. You know, age don't make you wise, necessarily. Age ain't what makes somebody wise. I know some older people, and they ain't got no sense at all. Sense of direction. I mean, I hear it all the time. People they talk about they've been divorced and this and that, you know, and I just come back and say, and I say, well, I won't never experience that. Had one to say, well, how do you know that? I said, because my mind's made up. But God, I will never get a divorce. Now, you know what? If I don't do my part, I'll change my mind. If you don't do your part, you can lay victory down. You can quit fighting. You can have gusto to fight when you're 30, but when you get 55, ooh, no, no, Lord. Oh, Lord, it's just the way it is. Everything's sagged down. That's might as well quit. No, you don't give up. Not at 50, not at 60, 80. Caleb was 80 years old, said, give me that mountain, God. I bet you didn't say, oh, God, I hope I can make it up that mountain. He was 80, man, 80 years old. But you know what? They had a different spirit about them. Caleb and Joshua were of a different spirit, different heart. Their heart was to follow the Lord. Their heart was, they knew the will of God. God told them down there, I'm going to take you to Canaan land. I'm going to take you to a land. And I mean, bless God, they're going through that desert, and they're not really paying a lot of attention to the desert, because they are going to have that vision. And so it caused their heart to be consecrated toward the Lord. And the rest of the children of Israel, the Bible says, they kept going forward, but they turned back in their hearts. See, don't turn back when you get 50. Don't turn back. Stay on fire. Stay on fire. If you've been on fire since you're 27, or if you're 18, 15 right now, don't lose it. Don't let 18 get you out of the will of God. I'm gonna be free. I ain't gonna know you're free right now. I'm telling you, if you're living at home and you're living there and you got rules and regulations, you are free. You're already free. The Bible says, whom the Son is set free is free indeed. You can ask my son. He'll tell you today, if you had it to do over again, he might have stayed home a little longer than 18. And the parent says, no, God forbid. But my point in that, don't teenagers let, you just understand what the will of the Lord is in there. You honor your father and mother. You honor those that are over you. You honor them. Don't ever let your heart get anything different, because if it does, it'll take you away from the will of God, and then you are wide open to the enemy, and then he will try to run your life from there as long as you'll let him. But it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know what I've noticed about Travis? He's a lot more bolder to talk about Jesus with me. The things of the Lord and all that. You know why? Because he's putting it in himself. More. He's engaging. I'm engaging. We all engaging. And you know what it causes? It causes a desire to win. It causes a desire to come up, because the winner lives on the inside of us. Give me that John 8, please, Beth. Go after the word. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Somebody say continue. That means he's telling them, don't stop here. You got born again. Don't stop in the word here. Go on. Get in that word. He said, continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. That's important. You will know what the will of God is. If I counsel somebody that's having marital divorce and they tell me it's just inevitable, I say, nope, you don't believe the Bible. Now, y'all may be going through some hard stuff right now, because the first thing that most folk want to do when you're trying to give them biblical counsel, and that's why they don't like people that are going to stay with the Bible, because that's not the answer they want to hear. They start, well, she's like this, and she does this, and then he's like, well, no, she does this, he does this, blah, blah, and they want you to get in there, but no, you go and you know the word of God now, you know the will of God, you know what to make them free, and then you tell them, no, you husband, you got to love her like Christ loved the church, and the wife, you got to submit to him. Well, he's dumb. That ain't what the Bible says, if he's dumb or not. I call it quality decision based on the word of God that brings sure victory into that equation. I'm telling you, when you're standing on the word of God and you turn into the word of God, you're putting that shield of faith up. Everybody knows the Bible says in Ephesians 5, taking the shield of faith. God didn't say, I'm going to raise faith up when you need it. Did he? There's a part that person has to do. Taking the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. In the same scripture there, it says, put on the whole armor of God. It didn't say, I'm going to put it on you. It said, the Bible says, put on the new man. That's like throwing the peace sign instead of shooting a bird. When you really want to shoot a bird, you just put on the new man. You're just doing it in another fashion. Just doing it in another fashion. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. That's somebody that's given their heart to him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I thank God I know a lot of truth today, because as little as I have studied the word and went into the word has done major things in my life. And I don't know, I just know a little bit of it, Johnny. I mean, I know enough to get us flowing in God and in victory. That's, you know, praise God. But there's inside in the Bible that I've not even saw. That's why it's important for me to stay and continue in that word, continue meditating on that word. A lot of God's people get saved and stay bound because they don't continue in the word. God said this to me. He said they don't continue in the word. Listening to sermons is continuing in the word. One thing Travis did, because man, Teresa's done it, I guess, I don't know, but when he decided that he's gonna have a good life, and he told me later, he said, I made up my mind, whatever I've got to do, I'm going to do it, because I'm going to have a good life. I'm going to have a good marriage. He said, whatever I've got to do. Well, you know, what he done, he went and looked. He told us a little bit about it. He went up and looked up Keith Moore Life Ministries, and he started listening to sermons on marriage. And, you know, well, he don't need none on money. He got money. You need to, wherever the trouble's at, that's what you need the word on. You need the right word, the anointed word. And then that will change your thinking. And when you change your thinking, it'll get your emotions intact. Your emotions, you'll start ruling over your emotions. Then your actions will change. Once you change your thinking of the way things are to the Word of God, your emotions won't be like they was, a roller coaster. Then your actions will be different. A lot of God's people get saved and stay bound because they don't continue in the Word. Listening to sermons, reading, studying the Word, meditating on the things of God instead of on the trouble. Don't meditate on your sick body. Meditate on the Lord. Say it out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord, that healing is the children's bread. It's mine. I'm your child. Healing's my food. Say it out of your mouth. Think it. Meditate on it. and say, I full well expect it to come to pass, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the healing ministry of Jesus is working. I receive it right now. Now I'm telling you, body, you will line up. And then you know what? You come out of your mouth, and the Bible says some were healed as they went. You just go about saying, I'm healed as I go all the time, healing mine all the time. As I go, I'm continually being healed and set free from. Give me that, let me see. I done said that. Put that Proverbs 10:4, Beth. I got about 7 minutes. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And it's not just talking about money. You put that in any area of your life. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Well, I'm thinking one scripture right now, somebody that won't work. I've told Travis before, you know. He has to pay taxes in. I said, well, I'm not going to pay your taxes. You want money, you pay your own taxes. I'm not going to be slack because he ain't going to make me poor. Right? He becometh poor that deals with a slack hand. Well, for me, say, well, it's my son. You know, I don't want him to go through no hardship. That's a slack hand. And that won't help him be a man. Right? But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Told Zach one time, he said, yeah, I got a job. Got a job. I said, good. I said, you start paying dad and mom $100 a week. He said, don't say that in front of them. I told him, I said, well, you know, y'all would think about giving them something, shouldn't you? You know, room and board and lights and all of that. And he said, just don't say that in front of them. I said, okay, kid, I'm gonna spare you. I'm not going to do it, praise the Lord. But I was serious. I was serious. You know, that will help them. I'm not talking about y'all's kids. Ain't none of my business. Your kids ain't none of my business, but. You know, God wants us to have a steady hand. He said, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now I said, I'm not where I'm at today. Now you may not own your own business, that's fine. You work for yourself, that's fine. Or you work for somebody else. Don't make no deal. Ain't got nothing to do with maketh rich. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. It don't say if you own your own business or you work for somebody or you clean house, it don't make no difference. Or, you know, if you are diligent. I'm not where I'm at today because of just Jesus. I got saved and born again, and then Jesus pretty much immediately started giving me ways to do and to go and things. I remember one time we was believing God and sowing seeds, and me and my brother, and that business went from zero to 500,000 gross and growing in 3 years. But in that 3 years, I'm down, and I'm there early, and I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm saying, which way to go, Lord? How do I do this, God? And I'm seeking God. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all of our ways, right? He'll direct our path. I was going by Proverbs 3, the scripture, acknowledging the Lord in it so he could direct my path. And then it went up here, and man, I mean, I wasn't having to believe for doors anymore. I'm on a different highway now. Pressure. I'm talking about pressure. Pressure that I'd never had. Pressures that I could only talk about, and everybody, yeah. But you know. And so I'm walking up behind my house one day, and I heard the phone was in my truck. It was a bag phone. I'd got a bag phone in my truck, you know. They had no cell phone yet. Cell phones didn't exist. That was a bag phone. But anyways, and only rich people that I knew had bag phones. Well, I figured I was rich, might as well get a bag phone. Secretary quit, and the phone replaced the secretary, and it was cheaper. Well, anyways, I'm walking up through there, and that phone ring, and I thought, I hate that phone right now. That stupid phone, that phone rings. I mean, it rings and rings and rings. I mean, it did, Mac. I mean, you go from zero to 500,000. I mean, business just taking off and still growing and all that. I mean, you constantly get phone calls, constantly. You know, and I'm thinking, I hate that phone right now. I don't want to hear it ring. I'm fixing to go unplug it, you know. And all of a sudden, I heard this next scripture. Beth, give it to me. I think that's what I want. Yeah, there it is. The hand of the diligent shall bear rue, but the slothful shall be put under forced labor, is what that means. And I heard that scripture. I'm reaching for the gate going up. I had some horses, and I was just going to get away from everything and just go spend time with them horses, you know, and just where it was quiet and all that, you know. And I heard that scripture, the hand of the diligent will bear rue. Lord spoke it to me. And I thought, man, but God, not right now. I mean, not right now, God. I need a break from this, God. God, I need a break. This pressure is just, it's unreal, Lord. I need a break from this pressure, you know. And he said, I am your pressure bearer. He said, but if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to be forced to it. He said, right now, doing what you're supposed to do, doing your part, he said, an anointing and a grace is on you. He said, but when you don't, heaviness is going to be on you. And so I run down there and answer that phone. I run down there and answer that phone. Now I have to keep myself in check, but I worked on that and worked on that to where the excitement was back that phone's ringing. It used to be exciting. See, when we quit doing our part, things are not exciting. Marriages, finances, believing for the blessing, whatever it does when we're not doing our part. But it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rue, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness is in the heart of a man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. But he said, yeah, the slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Now look, it says lazy people. I mean, the doors are coming in, Johnny. I mean, I went and sold, and I went, you know, I worked hard for the other man. You know what I'm saying? Then they would put in the promotion. No, I don't want to promote it because I'm going to have more responsibility. No, I don't want more garage doors. I'm going to have more of trouble. No, I don't. You know, no. The slothful man roasted not that which he took in honey. And you know what, praise God? I mean, we can have the victory and get the victory in our life and then just lay it down, not take the rest of the goodness of God into our lives, praise God. Give me the next one, Beth. The soul of the sluggard desireth and had nothing. Sluggard means lazy. They want a good marriage, but they don't have it. They want heal, but they don't. They don't have it. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. His marriage will be good. His finances will be good. And you know what? And the more that we do that, the more stable we become inwardly towards the Lord and the things of the Lord. Then when those floods come and those trials come, we sang that song and then we're standing, we're like, I shall not be, we're not just singing it anymore, we are living it. Bless God, everybody fall around me, I'm not. That'll be the attitude of that person that is diligent. Diligent means determined. I looked the word diligent up in every one of these scriptures right here. It means determined, determination, eager. And then I put under it, making decisions based on the word of God, but God, and I'm going to do them. If it said love my enemies, but God, if the enemy comes out, I'm going to love him. I'm going to overcome evil with good, but God, the hand of the diligent will make fat. Is that it, Beth? Give me that last one. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men or broke men or weak men. And you know what? I started serving the Lord, and to me now, I'm in business. So that means what it means to me. And if you work for somebody, the big dog, the main big dog usually not over you. Well, I'm down there. I got saved, and I started honoring God. And that man took notice of me because I started doing things in light of the Bible. And he called me in his office one day, and he said, "Sugar, what's happening to you? What happened to you?" And I thought, "What are you talking about?" I said, "What you talking about? What are you talking about, Jack?" He said, "You're just totally different. You know, you're different. What's happened? You know?" And I said, "Well, Jack," I said, "I got saved, man. I said, I've given my heart to Jesus, and I'm going to church. I said, and I'm doing my best to serve Jesus. I said, and it makes me like you and like working and, you know, and all of that stuff, you know." And when I left that place, I was raised the highest that I could get financially without hurting people that had been there a lot of years. I couldn't be raised up no higher in that short amount of time. You know, it took me before a great man, a man that was able to bless me, that was able, and I didn't do it. He tolerated me before I got saved. And that now in business, I mean, I'm in places now I'm like, I've tried to get since 96, man. And I was like nothing. I walked in this door company, and I'm going to close with this. I walked in this door company, had a confidence in my heart that God was going to raise me and my brother up in the garage door business. I knew the will of God. I knew it was God's will. And so I walked in there, and I called, got a meeting with the one that was running it. And I went in there and sat down there at his office, and I said, "I was wanting to see if I could buy a garage door from y'all guys." And he said, how many a week you reckon you're going to do?" I said, "Well, one or two right now." "Oh, nah," he gets said, "oh, nah, I ain't got time for all that, you know. Nah, two doors a week?" I catch, you know, and I said, "Well, we're just starting, man." I said, "You know." And he said, "Nah, I'm not really interested." And I said, "Okay." I got up and walked to the door, and I told him, I said, "You write it down, man. I said, one day you will want me. I'm giving you opportunity right now." Went out and slammed the door. A broke guy with the word in me. 2.5 years later, guess who called me? Guess who it was? 2.5 years later, news got down there to that door company somehow. Called up. "Hey, is this Mr. Weston?" I said, "That's him. This is so-and-so." Told his name, where he's from, and all that. He said, "Hey, I was wanting to talk to you." I said, "No, you had your opportunity." I said, "I don't need you now." I said, "When I was little, you didn't want me. But now that I'm spending $500,000 for doors, you want me. Too late." Beep. Hung it up, and I thought, bless God, you know, some people miss their opportunities by not staying connected with us. So I want to encourage you. I know you're diligent. I know you are. Your life proves it out, praise God. But you know what, praise God? Make sure you stay diligent. Make sure as God shows us other things to do. I mean, I'm constantly having to change. God told me now, you know what he told me now? He said, "I'm in a season now where he's increased me, and I don't want less money, longer hours, you know, and all of that." And the Lord told me, he said, "Okay," he said, "just manage time." He said, "And it'll go, and it won't even seem like things has increased much." So far, managing time is doing it. It's doing it, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord,